Amen. Good to have the Crabtrees home too. Amen. What a great deal. I hope that they had a great time. I heard that you did. And hopefully tonight you give a little testimony and tell what you learned and things. That's great. Take your Bibles. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations. Not temptation. Temptations. We all have a lot of temptations, don't we? And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Oswald Chambers wrote a book called Run Today's Race, and you can get it. It's a good one. He explains how God watches after us, and in the process, he is training us to trust him. That's the whole deal. He's training us in that so that we can understand what's going on. The faith for my deliverance is not my faith in God. Listen to this. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God loves me. And these are some of the things we learn in the fiery furnace of our life. Every one of you are going to go through some things that you just don't understand. Every one of you are going to go through things that you just didn't plan on. Everything you're going to go through things that you just didn't figure that was going to happen to you. You see it happen to other people, but you've never seen it happen to you. Other people go to the hospital with heart problems, not you. Other people go to the doctor because of lung problems, not you. Other people are almost dead and somebody resuscitates, but not you. Other people are told that they have cancer, but not you. Then all of a sudden, something happens in your life. You have a child that has some problems, maybe crippled, maybe have some mental deficiencies, and all of a sudden you are thrown in a place that you've never been. And we call that the crucible, or we call that the fiery furnace. God watches after us, and in the process, he is training us to trust in him. I'm going to trust God in this. I'm going to be like Job. Though, and I am going to say, though he slayed me, yet will I trust in him. I'm going to be like Job and say, no, I will not curse God and die. I don't understand this. I may not be visibly see what's going on. I do know something's going on, but I don't know how to take care of it. How do you explain the death of an 18-year-old girl? How do you explain that? How do you explain the death of a newborn? How do you explain to a parent when you knock on the door and say, my name is so-and-so and I need to talk to you for a moment? How do you do those things? I don't know. The only thing I know is you have faith in God to know that he loves me and he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He promised me peace that has no understanding with it. Yet he promises us that I will never leave thee. So therefore, this is where we say call faith. Faith kicks in, and I will stick with him, and I will stick with my belief that God loves me. And there are some things that can only be learned in the fiery furnaces of life. That's the only way you can learn them things. Everybody enjoys a child until you have one. I didn't mean to be funny. Every little girl wants to grow up and get married and have a baby. Amen? It's not too bad the first few months. Maybe you're a little sick, uncomfortable. Then pretty soon, all of a sudden, there's something in front of you that knocks your balance off. And it seems like you never can lose weight, and on and on and on and on, and all of a sudden here comes that day and you say, whoa, what was that? You weren't ready for that. You've heard about it. You've heard some bad tales of how terrible it is and all that. But once they place that baby in your arms, life is good. Life is good. Until they start getting mobile. The faith of my deliverance is not my faith in God. The faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not. I will stick to my beliefs that God loves me, and there are some things that can only be learned in a fiery furnace. You never know how much you love someone until you lose them. Or almost. God is able to deliver his people when tempted, but remember, it is he that understands the best way that it should be done. I don't know about you, but I like to yell uncle real quick. When I was a boy in high school, my cousin Dwayne and Uncle Gerald used to wrestle in the living room. Knock things down, tear things apart, squeal and yell like a couple little girls. But my Uncle Gerald always won. Because he'd grab my cousin's big toe. Get tight, reeking on it, brother. And all of a sudden, Dwayne inevitably said, Uncle, Uncle, Uncle! That wasn't his uncle. I asked him, I didn't know anything about uncle. He said, that's when people are supposed to stop. Now stop, Dad, Uncle! Sometimes we don't understand the things that are going on in our lives, and we're yelling. I like to yell Uncle real quick. Okay, enough of it. He sees the way to do it, and we cannot. He sends all his angels to take him and the tempted people by the hand and can interpose and destroy the power of the tempter, and he can rise up earthly fathers, and he can deliver his people completely and forever from temptation by removing them to heaven. But most of us complain about that. I don't want to go to heaven yet. My sermon preacher just preaching, I mean, he was just flying all over the place. He said, how many of you want to go to heaven today? Everybody raised their hands. Except one little boy up there. He says, son, don't you want to go? Yes, sir, pastor. He said, what? He said, you said today, and I ain't ready yet. Most of us are ready to go. How many are ready to go to heaven? You're just happy you're going to go to heaven someday. I'm glad some of you, because there's the other hand is hell. So how many want to go to heaven? How many want to go to hell? All of us want to go to heaven. They ain't good kidding about it. Man will go there. The Bible says the streets are gold, and there's going to be beauty up there like never behold. There's going to be a crystal river running from the throne of God, and there's going to be 12 beautiful, huge gates made of pearl, and all the jasper and diamonds and sapphires for the foundation, and boy, the God's children are going to be there, and God is going to rule the place, and everybody's going to be happy, and there's not going to be tear up there. Hallelujah! No hurt, no pain, no death. Glory to God, it's going to be a wonderful thing. And nobody will ever have to leave heaven. Nobody ever sick. There will not be a wheelchair up there. There will not be a crutch up there. There will not be oxygen any up there. There won't be walkers up there anymore. Praise God, you will have a brand new body. But the Bible said in hell, it's filthy, dark, smoky, torment forever, not a drop of water. Who in the world want to go there? Screaming and gnashing of teeth. And who is there? Satan and all the imps of hell. So all of us want to go to heaven. But right now, not right now. My wife, I used to tell this story many times. My wife, when she was a young girl, She said, Lord, I'm glad you're coming back, but can you wait until I meet my husband? And when she met me, she said, okay, Lord. But anyway, that's supposed to be funny. It didn't go over very well. And then she said, Lord, I'm ready to go to heaven, but I'd like to see my first baby. How many ever prayed that? Yeah, don't lie at me, woman. Yes, you did. And then, I want to see my next grandkid. Huh? We're all ready to go to heaven, but right now. Not right now. Amen. Peter wrote an epistle. You can rest assured that he knew the temptation was. Amen. When he wrote how that the Lord could deliver us out of temptations, this was no new territory for old Peter. We remember that he had been with the Lord Jesus Christ, and when the Lord was praying in the garden, and Jesus and his other disciples there at the time of prayer, and what did he do? They went to sleep. He was tempted with sleep. Listen to what the Lord said. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke 22:40. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Verse 46. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And old Peter had first knowledge about this Lord's sparing his life. Herod and his prison were going to have him beheaded like James. And Acts chapter 12, verse 4 through 11 tells about how that he was there and they were going to cut off his head. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God moved in that prison and opened up the doors and his shackles came off him and he walked out without a scratch on him. Amen. God delivered him. Many new and even seasoned Christians do not have knowledge or understanding when the faithful anxious seek the Lord's aid and immediately are not helped by God. But the contrary, the Lord suffers them sometimes, as it were, to waste away through daily weariness and exhaustion. Hey, it's just part of life. Troubles and trials come to every one of us. We're not getting out of this thing easy. Amen. Secondly, when the wicked grow restless with liberty and God, in the meantime is silence, and though he allows all the evil deeds to go on. Has that ever thought come across your mind? Peter testified that the Lord knows when the expedient delivery godly from temptation. He knows when to do it. Just not ready yet. He reminds them that this is his business and ought to be left to him. I talked to a lady yesterday, and she was asking me about my wife's condition. And I said, well, it's about pretty same. And she started to cry. And she said, I can't believe God would do that. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. God knows what he's doing. It happened Monday. I remember Wednesday night I came to this pulpit and I said, don't mess this thing up. God, it did not surprise God that my wife had a ventricular cardiac arrest. It did not surprise her, surprise God, that she lost a lot of her brain. It did not surprise God that the thought process is not what it used to be. It did not surprise God that she would not sit at that piano every Sunday and make that thing just bounce up and down. It did not surprise God that the pastor would have a wife that could not carry on a regular conversation of brilliance. But I'm here to tell you, God makes no mistakes, and I'll always trust in his love of me. Some of the things that happen in your life, you may question God. Is that bad? For our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So I guess questioning is not bad.
But by faith, we live and exist as a Christian. God has proven to me and has proven to you many, 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 many times that He knows what He's doing and He makes no mistakes. Sometimes we want it to shortcut, but then I wouldn't learn at all. There's some things in our lives that we go through, maybe at work, and we make a mistake. It may be the best mistake we ever made. It may really help us. The other day, I'm under a new doctor's care of my diabetes, and this new doctor says, I'm going to try something. He said, this new kind of insulin is 5 to 10 hotter than the insulin you take right now. So therefore, you can really crash and burn with this stuff. Now, I don't want you to mess with it. This is what I'm going to set, and don't do nothing with it. That's what my doctor said. I get home, my sugar goes up to 300. 333. And I'm going like, ooh, I don't feel good. And I take my pump out, and I'm going to fix it. Somehow my wife woke me up at 4:30 in the morning. I don't know how she did, but she kicked me or something. And I realized that I was having a low. I ran into the kitchen, took my blood sugar at 42. You start doing a funky chicken about then. It's like somebody's taking a shade and just pulling it down like this. Your lights are going off. And there's a lot of funny feelings about you, and you start to uncontrollably sweat and all a whole bunch of other things. How many know what I'm talking about? There's a few of you. Okay. 42 is not good. Benchmark is 60-120. I'm at 42. And now I go into the gorge yourself mode. Drinking juice, eating cookies, man, anything's out there, man. My wife used to say funnily, she said, I see you had a low last night because there was crackers and crumbs and everything around her. Amen. I called the doctor and I said, she said, and doggone it, these people just know it. Said, did you mess with that? Well, so I wasn't feeling good and I was at 333 and that is not where I'm at. And she says, Dr. Shear. She said, what did you do? And I told her, I said, that's good. We're going to try something different with you. No, this morning, I forget it was, 104 this morning. Yeah, sweet. Amen. Some things you shouldn't mess with. And one of those things is, when God gives you a formula, stay with His formula because it always works. I thought I was giving myself a low bolus, they call it. Bolus means give it all. Whoo, that stuff is hot. We as Christians, we're always trying to figure out God instead of just trust Him. Sometimes Christians think, and the thought is apt to creep in, if the Lord would have His own to be safe, why does He not rather gather them all in a corner of the earth that they may mutually stimulate one another to holiness? God does not do that. We are not supposed to go away from the wicked. We're supposed to live for Jesus among the wicked. We're not supposed to take on their life, but we're supposed to live our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, if we can just get our kids away from all the wickedness. Give me a break. You ain't going to get your kids away from wickedness. Yep. Well, the worst thing we ever had is a Christian school. Some of the rascals, some of the worst kids I ever met were Christian school kids. That doesn't make them perfect. That doesn't make them better. We've got to be very careful about this. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Here's the getter. And be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's where it's at. You ought to be praying for your kids. You ought to be begging God that he would protect these children and to show them what happens when things that kids do that are bad, what they'll expect to get. You are the training. You're the basic. You're the. What do you call those guys in basic training? The guys that yell and swear at you.
Yeah.
What are they trying to do? Trying to ruin you? Are they trying to ruin you? What are they trying to do to you? They're trying their best to teach you some things to get you to live and save people's lives. And that's what you mamas and daddies are all about. You're supposed to be the drill instructor at home. I mean, you're supposed to be in their face with love, of course. You give them a bunch of rules without love, you're going to just get rebellion. But you give them rules with love and compassion, and they see your heart, they'll say, okay, Dad, I get it. 7, why does he mingle them with the wicked by whom they may defile? But when God claims to himself the office of helping, the office of protecting his own, that they may not fail in the contest, we gather courage to fight more strenuously. I will continue to serve God. The meaning of the first clause, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. The law is prescribed by the Lord to all the godly, that they are to be proved by various temptations, and they are to entertain good hope of success, because they are never to be deprived of his aid and help. Is God watching you through temptations? Yes. He's probably the closest. When you, as a parent, are teaching your child something may be dangerous, you keep a keen eye and you're alert and you're making sure that child is not going to get hurt doing something. Yes? I hope you teach your children firearm safety. And when you teach those children firearm safety, you're very careful about that muzzle and where it's pointed, and if there's ammunition or there's not ammunition, on and on and on and on, right? You're very careful about that. Guns don't kill people. It's the idiots behind them. Constantly watching, being vigilant. That's the way it is raising kids. Your job is to be so careful raising those kids. You don't let them around certain people. You're very careful about where you put them. Check our nurseries out. Check them out. Door locked. Make sure nobody can get in there. Back door locked. People can't come in there. Yeah. What? You want to protect them? Same way as your home. You want to protect your children. Never leave your kids at home alone. I saw that program one time. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And the apostles showed a divine government in a more general way, both of good and evil. We live in an evil day. Would you say amen to that? We live in an evil day. I need Jonah up here. He has cards. When you say amen or whatever. Do we live in an evil day today? Are there things going out there to hurt us? Are there things out there to hurt our children? I was with somebody the other day, and somebody said,
had some candy I was giving the kids. We got a new deputy off the sheriff's office, and I was introducing myself, and the sheriff, this is the funniest, the sheriff had some things he wanted to give these kids, and they went like that to him. The sheriff, his daddy just got hired by him. His dad, he just, you know, this is a big deal, all right? And they wouldn't take it from him. He said, and I said, Sheriff, you know they're not supposed to take things from strange men. Detectives and deputies are, that's right, kid, don't take that. Then I have some of these, I keep in my desk some of these juicies that the deputies take from me all the time. But anyway, these little juicy things open up and get all the little juicy things. And hey, kids, I said, you want some of this? And I went like this. And I carried my star on here, and I said, you always trust a guy with a star. And they took them right away from me. They wouldn't take them from the sheriff. We live in an evil world today. It's very evil out there. There are people out there that are trying to get us. There's predators out there that are trying to ruin us, take things that don't belong to them. Enemy is not yet hurled from the place that God promises when we go to heaven. Satan will not be there. The eye of the Lord is not close to the trial of the ungodly any more than he is the way of the unrighteous man. God is there for us. He is constantly active in his care for his own and will deliver them out of temptation just as he has reserved the unjust for the day of judgment. My Lord and Savior is called the Shepherd, the Good Shepherd. I've never met a good shepherd that would not give his life for his sheep. Judgment is allotted to the Lord Jesus, whom the world despises and rejected today, but it's still coming. He, it is, who was appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. The Father judges none, but hath given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even honor the Father. He is the Son, is therefore the test. Have you trusted the Son? Have you invited the Son to be your Savior? He that honoreth not his Son honoreth not the Father that sent him. And as it is the self-emptying and humiliation of the Son of becoming a man and dying on the cross, which gave occasion to unbelief and to contempt instead of love and subjection, it will be the Son of Man that will judge mankind. Those who believe in the Son of God receive eternal life. Those who despise by disobeying him must be judged by the glorified Son of God. Man will be judged by Christ's judgment in the white throne. Remember this, Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to his works. This will be everlasting. And just as the everlasting eternal life that will be given to the believer, these will be given to the unbeliever. There is no escaping from this judgment from the unjust. This is the judgment that punishes them in the life at his appearing. For the Christian, God has many promises, so many that we don't even have time to talk about them all. I want to give you some promises, just a couple. I know what time it is. Hang on. It's already 11:01 right now. I'll let you out of here soon enough to get to Golden Corral. Stand by. Number one, God's promised his children salvation. Aren't you glad about that? Promise salvation. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost. And most of us need that, amen, to the uttermost, amen. That come unto him, come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth and maketh intercession for them. Marcia. Number two, God promises children that they will never be abandoned. Hebrews 13:5b. For
He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God promises children, number three, that he will pray for them. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather that he risen again, who is in the at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? For God promised to love his children. We love him because he first loved us. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince and king of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins by his own blood. Number five, God promises children that they will always be in his family. Always be in his family. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye are loved me and have believed I came out from my Father. Six, God promises children that they will be secured people. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye believe on the name of the Son of God. Number seven, God promises children that they will be separated people. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth his praises unto him who hath called out of the darkness into marvelous light, which in time past were not people, but are now the people of God, which obtained mercy, but now have obtained, not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And number seven, or number eight, God promises his protection of his own. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly. A godly preacher named Sander of Elderfield, England, had been compelled to rebuke an evil person for some gross sins in his church, and had thereby attacked to himself his malicious hate, and the man vowed to repay that preacher. One night the pastor was called to visit a house that could only be reached by passing over a plank, which bridged a impetuous torrent. Nothing seemed easier to the enemy than to conceal himself at the bank till the man of God was returning on the opposite side of the plank to meet him in the middle and throw him in the deep, turbid stream and chasm, leaving to be surmised in the darkness he lost his footing. When, however, from his hiding place he caught the sight of the pastor's figure in the dark light, he was surprised, though, to see another person with him. There were two figures advancing towards him across the narrow plank, and he did not dare to attempt the murderous deed. And as he passed his hiding place, the one whom he did not know cast such a glance towards him as convinced him of his sinful act that he had contemplated, and began to work in his heart for his conversion. When converted, he sought out the preacher, and he confessed to him his murderous intention, which he was going to do. He said, "It would have been your death had you not been accompanied." "What do you mean?" said the pastor. "I was absolutely alone." Nay, there were two of you." Then the pastor knew that God had sent his angel, as he sent his angel to bring Lot out of Sodom. It is, if it be so, God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us by throwing us in the fiery furnace. He will deliver us from thine hand, O King. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus, listen now, shall suffer persecution. You hear that? That's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. That's not a happy verse for a lot of Christians. Ye and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. When we intend to do mischief, God will send many stops to hinder us, as if to say,
Take heed to what you do. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. He knows how to deliver the godly. If you are succeeding without suffering, it is because others before you have suffered. If you are suffering without succeeding, it is that others after you may succeed. God watches after us. And in the process, He is training us to trust Him. The faith for my deliverance is not my faith in God. Faith means whether it is visible, delivered, or not, I will stick to my belief that God loves me. There are some things that can only be learned in the fiery furnace. God is able to deliver His people when tempted, but remember, it is He that understands the best way which it should be done. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that You'd speak to our hearts. Lord, so many times we have come to the problem in our life. So many times there comes some problems in our life that we just don't know what way to turn. That is when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is when we realize it is God's responsibility to take care of us, not our responsibility to take care of us. You know, throughout this life, there's a lot of things that happen that we just can't take care of. Well, we think that, boy, we're going to do it. I'm going to handle this thing. But really, deep down inside, we can't handle it. That's why we have asked Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins and ask Him to come into our heart, that He would be our Savior. He would be our advocate. He would be one who would come alongside and deliver us. I'm going to ask you today, first of all, are you here today and you're not sure you're saved? Are you here today that you're not sure you're on your way to heaven? I'm going to tell you something. You have no hope. You're in trouble, whether you know it or not. God loves you so much, He gave His only begotten Son to save you. Jesus Christ loved you so much, He left heaven to come to this blood, sweat, tear earth and live on this earth and die on the cross and shed His blood for you that you could have life everlasting. And the troubles and trials that come in your life, if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing makes sense. But to a Christian, but one who has put their trust in Jesus Christ, when the troubles and trials come, there's something that faith does to us. And we say, you know what? I may not understand it, but I do understand one thing, that God loves me. And He will not let anything happen to me that I cannot withstand, or He'll provide a way of an escape. That's so true. Some of you in this congregation today know what I'm talking about. You've been through some pretty tough trials. You've been through the crucible. You've been through the fiery trials of life. And you've seen it. And you've seen God put His hand around you and say, you know, it's going to be okay. I know what I'm doing. And hopefully you're wise enough to say, and I'm not going to mess it up. I want to allow God to use me in a way that others can see the love of Jesus Christ. Question number one, are you saved today? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Has there been a time in your life you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and asked Him to come in your heart? Has there been a time like that? Maybe at church. Maybe at Sunday school, maybe at camp, but there's been a time in your life that you received Christ as your Savior. You say, preacher, there has. Would you lift your hand to that and say, yes, preacher, I know Christ is my Savior. There's been a time in my life I received Jesus as my Savior. Thank you. You may put it up. Couldn't raise your hand. God bless you for being honest. But I'm telling you, there is a wonderful thing called salvation. and it's for you. And all you have to do is ask Jesus to forgive your sins, come in your heart. How simple can that be? I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone's standing today. You're here today, and you say, "Preacher, I am telling you the fact. I do not know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If I were to die tonight, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not, but I'd sure like to know that." My friend, this is what we call the invitation. You're here today, and you're not sure you're saved. I'm going to ask you to step out of the seat, roll down this aisle. You're here today, and you say, "Preacher, today, I want Jesus to be my Savior." You come as the music plays. "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I just don't know. I just don't know. I want to be sure I'm saved." Why don't you come now with these others? You come. "Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven or not." Boy, I'm telling you, how in the world can you go through so much trouble and trials and just wonder what in the world is going on? Jesus loves you and gave himself for you. Won't you come to him? You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believer in baptism. Why don't you come at this time?" "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time?" Again, are you saved? If you die today, where would you spend eternity? I've never met a person yet to know for sure the day they were going to die or the moment they're going to die. Everything seems good and all of a sudden, gone. It's over. Do you know Jesus? If you don't, please come. I want to praise the Lord for a young lady named Sadie Fitzgerald. Sadie today, 8 years old, trusted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, I remember, I had to be 14 before I got saved. I'm glad you got saved when you're 8. Amen. That's good. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless this time. Thank you, Lord, for Sadie. Pray, God, you just do a great work in her heart and her life. And, Lord, help her to read her Bible and pray and do the things that you tell her to do. Now, Lord, bless us now, Lord, as we come back tonight. Keep us safe. And all God's people said,